Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here. I appreciate your presence. As Bonnie and I are happy to be back. We missed you last week. The wedding went very well and we had a good time, but it's good to be back home. Feels like we've been gone a lot this year, and actually, in 2 weeks, Bonnie and I will be up in Denver. Yes, we will. She's telling me no. Yes, it is. Yeah, in 2 weeks, we'll be up in Denver. They're in between preachers right now, and so the next preacher's coming in June, I think, and so they've asked for some people to come help them. So Bonnie and I will be up there, but then after that, I should be around for a while. I've had enough of the traveling for a little bit. You have your Bibles. I hope you've already opened up to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be spending a good bit of our time there. I'm not going to give you this earth-shattering lesson. This is not going to be shocking news to you, but it is something that we need a constant reminder for. What we're going to do is we're going to continue on our theme for the year, which is walk by faith. And what we've already covered is we started off in January at Hebrews 11 and verse 6, where we observed the great importance of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Without faith, you cannot please God. No matter what you do, no matter how much you do it, you can't please God without faith. And then in February, we looked at what faith is, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And in that, we observed that faith is not blind, although it's about things you haven't seen. It is based on evidence, thus a conviction of things not seen. That faith is to believe in God, and it is to trust in Him and in His promises. And then last month, we looked at 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, in which it says that obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. And we again go back to the importance of faith. You have to have faith to please God. You have to have faith in order to be saved. And we actually looked at the context of that passage, and we observed that there another outcome of your faith is that it gives you the ability to have joy in the midst of great tribulation and suffering. So faith, put it mildly, it's kind of important. Where does it come from? Some people think that faith just kind of happens, that you either believe or you don't believe. But the Bible says there's a source for it. There's a way for us to increase and gain this faith. And so we observe this morning, Romans 10 and verse 17, a passage that I think many people are familiar with, they've even memorized. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith is in your fingertips, the source, the ability to gain it, the ability to grow in it. You are holding it if you will take the time to read it and examine it. There is, and this is not shocking, right? There is this direct connection between faith and God and the Word of God, reading and hearing what He has to say. If you go earlier in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith, which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Before the confession, before the faith, where's the Word? It's in your heart, and that's what leads to this. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, we look at the young man Timothy and how did he come to have this faith in God. And it all started with what he was instilled with as a child. It says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John gives us one of these statements of, this is why I've written. And it's said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Did you see what happened there? It's somebody who already believes who comes and reads what is written so that they will believe more. They will have greater faith to such a degree that he doesn't even call it faith anymore. He calls it, you'll know. I've written to you who believe so that you will know of your salvation. And in John chapter 20, when John brings his gospel near a conclusion, he says, this is why I've done it. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Faith comes from hearing. No surprise then that if you were to consider Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the most noble-minded Bereans, they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. We're more familiar with that verse, right? Verse 11. Verse 12, the next thing that it says, so many believed. Search the scriptures, gain faith. That's what we see. So, I want to consider how God's word builds faith. Because if we took Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 out of context, if we said it is just this simple statement that is all on its own and not within a certain argument, and all it says is, so faith comes from hearing, do we not have this tremendous formula to save the souls of all the people around us? I saw a runner this morning running by. I could have grabbed her, which would have been kind of freaky, grabbed her and brought her in here, and you guys could have held her down and she'd be all squirming, and then I start reading God's word, and as I read it, the magical spiritual words enter into her ears, and boom, she's like, I'm a Christian. Right? It's not what it means. That's not how it works. You can read and not believe, and even the context shows us that. In Romans chapter 10, we looked at verse 17, but if you look at verse 18, he says, but I say surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. So he's looking at these people that have rejected God's word. He says, oh, the problem is they've never heard. He says, no, they have heard. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. It had already been declared. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And he goes on, and the basic point is, some people are going to read this and they're not going to believe because they're not going to approach it in the right way. There are scholars who read God's word for intricacies, not truth. And they spend all sorts of time looking at God's word, looking for various intricacies, connections, looking for connections to other societies, to other doctrinal truths, looking for connections from verse to verse. But what they're not seeking is truth. And what they find then is intricacies and not truth. They do not gain their faith. There are others who read to try to disprove the Bible. And guess what? They don't generally come to faith. I've known a few who have. But they don't generally come to faith because that's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for truth. So we have to read the God's word in a certain way. So how is it that God's word builds faith then? Understand that what you're holding is our evidence book. It's not just a religious book. It is our evidence book. It tells us about people who didn't believe and why they came to believe, which helps us to understand why we should believe. It provides the evidence for the truth. We read that in John chapter 20. This is what John's saying. I've written this about the various miracles that Jesus has performed so you would believe. We find in the scriptures the prophecies, and these things have been written so that we will believe. We find within scriptures the divine unity of all these different authors writing over thousands of different years and all combining to make one message. And you read that and you gain faith. It provides evidence of the truth, but then on top of that, it provides foundation for faith in God. So when we read, we come to understand who God is and what God does. That's what Romans 15 and verse 4 is saying, that in this scripture, and he's talking now about the Old Testament, says, for what was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. I want to point that out again. The Old Testament is for us. We should be reading it too. It was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. It is through reading that we realize we're not the first ones to face tribulation. And it is through reading that we realize God's people always overcome. It is through reading that we see that God makes promises and never forgets them and always fulfills them. And this builds our faith and our trust in Him. That says when he says we'll be forgiven, it means we'll be forgiven. When he says we'll be resurrected, it means we'll be resurrected. When he says we'll be in heaven, it means we'll be in heaven. When he says we're his children, it means we're his children. And we grow in faith because we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. And God's word builds faith in that it shows us what to believe in. Why to believe, what to believe. I have tremendous confidence in the importance of baptism, and it is not because it's what I've always done. And it's not because it's what I've always been told. It is because you read God's word and you see it over and over again with tremendous clarity. God's word tells us what we should have faith in, what we should trust. Again, you're all looking at me like, this is not earth-shattering. Jared, you were telling us the truth. Indeed, I was. Not earth-shattering. God's word builds faith. Now, let's go back to Romans 10 and look at the context. You'll notice Romans 10, verse 17 began with the word so. It is not a standalone statement. It is within a larger argument. And the book of Romans is a doozy. It's a big book that deals with a really hard subject, and that was how the Jews weren't God's plan for ultimate salvation. How salvation was to come through faith rather than through the Jewish people being born a Jew. And so it's got a lot of arguments, all sorts of things that are going along with that, and we're actually getting to the very end of that argument. And what we see then is he says, so faith comes from hearing, and that's in contrast to what the Jews were saying, which is that faith comes, not so much faith, they were saying salvation, they were saying the relationship with God, being special, one of his children, comes from being born into it. If you're born a Jew, it flows through your blood. You're one of God's special people. That was not God's plan. He intended to open it up for all people. And so it couldn't come through birth. It must come from faith. And that's within the context of what he's talking about. So if you go back to Romans 10 and verse 12, just a few verses up from verse 17. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Go up even earlier to Romans 9 and verse 8. Says, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. And then he notes the problem that the Jews had, how they were rejecting God, because they were misunderstanding this point. It has always been by faith, not birth. And so in verse 32, he says, why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. The significance of this is for our children. Don't make the mistake of the Jews. Your children are not Christians because you are, because they happen to be born into your family. Your children are not Christians because they are brought to church. Your children must learn faith to become Christians. And so what we must do is what Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother did from his youth. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, they taught him the sacred scriptures. We need to teach our children God's word to give them the foundation, the formula for getting the faith that leads to their salvation. Another thing that we learn from the context of Romans 10, verse 17, is that right there, you've got to teach. People aren't just naturally going to believe. They need to hear the message. Nobody is going to sit down and think their way to heaven. They need to hear the message from heaven to get there. And so what does he do in Romans chapter 10? We saw verse 17, so faith comes from hearing. That was the conclusion from verses 14 and 15, where he says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? So we're given a responsibility to our children and to the people of the world. If we want them to believe, to have this faith that makes them right with God, this faith that allows them to please the Almighty God, this faith that can save their souls, we have a responsibility. We need to share a message that they need. Now, he points out here, there's got to be the preachers, right? But then he gives us in the next verse, in verse 15, how will they preach unless they are sent? There are going to be those people who are speaking God's word, and there are going to be those people who are supporting them and getting them out there so that they can speak God's word. But that's what we've got to do, because faith comes from hearing, so we've got to make sure the people hear. Because believe it or not, most people don't just sit down and start reading their Bibles. So we've got to get the message out. And then third, on the context, what we see is that faith comes from hearing rather than just from an innate feeling that you have within you, an innate knowledge. And so he goes up to the Jews and he says they don't just naturally know what God has said. In fact, they're ignorant of God's will. He says in Romans 10 and verse 2, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." The significance of this is that most people are really convinced it's the opposite. That faith is what you already have within you. I can't believe a God. I can't believe God would send anybody to hell. Where'd that faith come from? Was that from reading? That was something that's inside you that you've thought and you have felt. And so you no longer believe the truth because you're believing yourself. And so we're not given innate knowledge. We must then not listen to our own feelings and our own thoughts. We must not hear what the world has to say. We must not interpret the signs around us, because people who interpret the signs around them have no clue who they're listening to, because most of them believe Satan is true. And so you have two forces in the world. You have God and you have Satan, and they're trying to figure out what the truth is based on whether the light's green or red. And they have no idea who they're listening to. Bottom line here is, if you want proper faith, you must listen to the proper source. If you want to believe what is right, what is true, you got to listen to what God says. Again, have I told you anything earth-shattering this morning? But how many of us read enough? Here it is, such an obvious truth. The source of faith is in our fingertips. We are the most blessed people of perhaps of all time, with not just one, but multiple copies of God's word. And we even have things that wash our clothes for us and do our dishes for us. We have been granted perhaps more time than any other generation before. And we can't find time to read. And we need to. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, we find that faith doesn't just begin in God's word. It is sustained by God's word. In other words, once you become a Christian by God's word, you must continue to read God's word so that you grow in this faith. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul's writing to Timothy. He has told him all of these various truths that he expects him to teach others. He has given him the message. And then he says in verse 6, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished in the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following." If you're interested, you can go down a few verses, and again, the word of God becomes of importance. He says in verse 13, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." He concludes this chapter in verse 16, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." We become Christians. That's not the end. That's the beginning of the search of God's word. Keep reading. It constantly nourishes your soul and your faith. And so it gets to where in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, really just verse 2, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." The message this morning is simple as simple can be. You want to grow in faith, and you do want to grow in faith. Read and keep reading. That's it. That's our message this morning. So you need to dedicate time to God's word to build your faith. And I understand that that's challenging, especially for people that are just starting. The Bible is intimidating. It's big, no pictures. Most Bibles don't have any pictures. It's, where do I start? It talks about these people I don't know. You will never know if you don't keep looking. And there's going to be parts of it you don't understand. Do you ever watch the show Lost? Oh, okay, some of you just shook your head no. This illustration will mean nothing to you. But to other people who watched the show Lost, did you understand everything? And the answer for absolutely everybody who watched the show Lost is, no way did I understand everything, and yet we kept watching. Yeah, you start off and you don't understand everything, but as you go, more and more is revealed and more is understood. Don't expect to pick up the Bible and understand every word, every thought. But the more you read, the more you will understand, the more thoughts you will grab, the closer to God you will grow, and you will increase in your faith constantly. And with that in mind, I'd like to make another observation. Romans 10 and verse 17 did not say, so faith comes from reading. It said, so faith comes from hearing. Now, there's good reason for that. They had not yet had the New Testament written. And they certainly did not have a copy of the New Testament. This was before the printing press. And so their general way of getting God's Word was by getting together with those who had a copy of God's Word or those who were prophets and to listen. God set this in order in the first century, and it continues on today. What this means is the assemblies are important for a reason. When we talk about faith comes from hearing, we're saying that reading God's Word is really important for you to do on an individual basis, but the assemblies also have tremendous significance. This is what God's design was, not just so that we would gather together and tell God how great He is, though we do that, and we should do that. This is a time when we gather together in addition, and we hear the message that helps us to gain the strength and the faith that lets us face the rest of the day and the rest of the week. And so if the assembly is not a regular part of your practice, you are hurting yourself. You are neglecting part of God's plan. And may I add to that, that assembling together alone is not sufficient. There are going to be a lot of people that gather together in churches around the world today that aren't going to get fed much Scripture. And so in addition, we must demand that our assemblies be scripturally focused, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. It's not just any message, it's this message. And so we must demand that our Bible classes are scripturally focused. And we must demand that the sermons are scripturally focused. And if they're not, change it. If I start preaching things that aren't from God's Word, and God's Word does not flow throughout my sermons, get rid of me. And bring in a preacher who will feed you God's Word. And if a Bible class is not focused on God's Word, well, you need to change it too. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Now, if you are not a Christian, but you have read enough to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you may not know everything. I guarantee you, you don't, because neither do any of us. There may be a lot you don't know. But if you understand and you believe that Jesus came from God onto this earth, He died on the cross and was resurrected, that's enough faith to get you started. What you're asked to do from that point in Acts chapter 2, they came to that faith. They came to realize Jesus was the Son of God and we killed Him, and now you're telling us He's resurrected. What do we do? And the answer was repent and be baptized in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you have just that much faith, won't you start following Jesus today? Because just that much faith is enough to get you started. It's enough to please God. And it's enough to save your soul. Won't you come? And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, we beg you to come back. Your faith should be screaming at you. You are doing something wrong and you will pay the price. Won't you fix it? Won't you? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?